We are truly blessed here to have a worship team that hears from the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but every song they played today spoke directly to me and directly to the sermon today. And then everything that followed just tied right in. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of need a pep talk. You know, like, it's okay. You can get out of bed this morning. Go on, it's 10 o'clock. You can do it. It's summer vacation, you know, it's all right. Not everybody has summer vacation, it's fine. But, no, seriously, this week has been a rough week. In our scripture, Jesus says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. It seems like he landed right in the middle of the Supreme Court. I tell you, Monday was a really bad day for me. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't know whether you follow such things. I don't know whether you're affected by such things. But the decision by the Supreme Court deeply disturbed me. The Texas law that had enforced regulations on abortion clinics that had effectively shut down hundreds of abortion clinics and promised to do so in many other states had been struck down and had made it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had overturned it. And this opens the door for many more abortion clinics to be opened up and countless thousands of children to be murdered. And that really devastated me. And I was just in a foul mood for the whole week. And one of our good friends, Sarah Howell, posted this. She posted from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. This is a horrible setback. This was a tremendous victory that had accomplished much, and it was just devastating. And then it seems like every time you turn on the news, there was something else that was just, you know, there was a bombing here and an assault here and an airport attacked here, and hey, be careful when you travel this weekend because there's sure to be an attack here or there. It's just not been a great week. And so I look at the gospel. I look at the gospel and I hear Jesus say, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, over all the power and the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I think, really? Nothing? Because I don't know about that. Because it seems like people are getting hurt all over the place. Christians are getting hurt all over the place. I think back to right around Easter time when there was the playground bombing in Lahore, Pakistan, just a few months after Bishop Prakash had gone back to Pakistan. And we were worried about him and his family and his congregation. I think, what does this mean? How do we reconcile, hey, nothing is going to hurt you, with the fact that, man, this has just been a rotten week. And we look around and people are getting hurt. People are dying. We got families going on vacation getting eaten by gators at Disney World. This is horrible. I mean, this is the most tragic thing I think I've ever heard. It's catastrophic. How do we reconcile this? Well, let's really look at this gospel. Let's really push into it. What is going on here? Jesus has come down from the Mount of the Transfiguration. He has turned and he is heading to Jerusalem. He knows that in the next few months, he is going to be crucified. And he is heading to Jerusalem. He has left Cana and Galilee, and he is going on to his death. And he is well on his way because, as we heard last week, he's already gotten to Samaria. He's well on his way back home. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70. He's already sent out the 12, and they've come back. And they're like, whoa, we did really great things. Okay, round two. We've sent out the 12. Now we're sending out the 70. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And there our reading stops, and it skips 14 verses. And it comes back with them returning. And they return with joy and say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So obviously, they had a really good turnout. But what happens? What happens there? Well, he gives them a little bit more instructions. He tells them what to do and how to behave themselves. But at a certain point, he says, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And woe to you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me. And him who rejects me rejects him who sent me. He also said, whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to you, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near you, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So he goes and he says, look, go out and preach and tell these people and say these things. But look, think about this city and that city. Jesus had been in Chorazin. He'd been in Bethsaida. He had worked miracles in them. They had heard. They had seen. And they had rejected. You know the difference between Tyre and Sidon? Jesus didn't go to Tyre and Sidon. People left Tyre and Sidon and came and saw him. It says he went towards Tyre and Sidon, and people came to him. But he never went there. It was way far out of his way. Capernaum. It's like his hometown. These are places that had heard and they had seen. And they had seen what he had done. He had healed people. He'd raised the dead. And their reaction was, meh. Neat. In Tyre and Sidon, they would have put on sackcloth and ashes and they repented. It would have been like Nineveh in the days of Jonah. There would have been people who would have been really irritated. They would have been like, really? These wicked sinners, they're repenting now? Seriously? But so they return with joy. The demons are fleeing. Yeah! Awesome. I saw Satan fall like heaven, fall from heaven. You know, Satan didn't fall from heaven actually at this point, right? That was in creation. It's before the fall of man. So when they came back, they're like, even demons are fleeing before us. Jesus wasn't like, ooh, Satan. There, right there. Did anybody? You're all looking at me. No, you didn't see that. Wow. That didn't happen. He was like, oh, this is like Satan falling from heaven. When the enemy falls, it's like Satan cast out of heaven all over again. When Christians rise up, defeat the devil, when a non-believer accepts Christ, it's like Satan being cast out of heaven all over again. It's like him being cast down all over again. Just as the Eucharist is a second coming every time we participate in it, because Jesus is made real in the altar and he is there. Every time someone rejects the devil and chooses God, Satan's cast down again and again and again. Lightning may not strike in the same place twice, but it can strike 100,000 times because that's how many times Satan can fall. And not just once per life, but in your life 1,000 times. Countless times, because that's how many times he'll try. Even the demons are subject to us. That's fantastic. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What about that? You know what? I get hurt all the time. And not even like grand stuff. Like, I got child toys all over the place. I trip over stuff all the time. You know, it's nothing fancy. I can't even tell what half the stuff is. Jesus, you said nothing's going to hurt me. I think that was a Ninja Turtle. What about that? You said nothing. How do we put this together? Now let's get about the serious stuff. What about the fact that there are 200 children who are murdered via abortion in Jacksonville every week? That's the serious stuff. That really hurts. That cripples. And think about, I have nothing to do with those people. I don't know them. What about their families? What about the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles? That's brutal. So, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Now, I'll give you a hint here, okay? Satan doesn't get to decide who goes to heaven. That's not his call. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Can't you buy a couple of pigeons for one coin? Aren't they pretty much worthless? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. He says, look, don't worry. Don't be afraid. These birds are worthless. They're worth less than a copper coin. They're half a copper coin. You get two of them for a penny. Can't get anything for a penny. Why do we even have pennies? But God knows more about the hairs on your head. He cares more about the hairs on your head than he does one of these birds. And he knows everything about these birds. You're worth more value than many sparrows. Therefore, Jesus continues, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So, what is it that we need to be bold about? Confessing Christ before men. Not denying him before men. I'm reminded of the martyrs in Egypt, the 21 martyrs who were all lined up in prison jumpsuits and taken out and beheaded by ISIS. And they were all asked, and at the last, if they would renounce Christ and live. And they all said to the last man, "I'm Christ's." And they who confessed Christ before men, you can rest assured that Christ confessed them before the Father. And having been confessed before the Father by Jesus Christ, what can some lunatic with a knife do to them? They have eternal life. They stand with God before the throne. A few seconds of pain, a few minutes of pain, and eternity with the Father. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. See, this is what Jesus said. He didn't say, look, I am now commissioning you to sit on your butts and hear good preaching. Better than average preaching. Depends on the day. He said, I am sending you out. I am sending you out, and not like lions among lambs. He said, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. The harvest is plentiful, but the predators are abundant. Remember, they don't like us very much. In fact, he said, they hated me, and the servant is not above the master. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And by the way, they put me to death in the worst way imaginable. So, good luck with that. But by the way, I've overcome the world, and I'm going to do the same for you. He never said it was going to be the easiest path. He said the reward was overwhelming. The finish line is amazing. The end game is better than anything we could imagine. Because that's where he wipes away every tear, and there's no more sighing or weeping. There's no more pain. That's the ultimate prize. That's what we look to. We don't look to, thanks be to God, we don't look to a bunch of judges. We don't look to any presidential candidate ever, not just this year, but ever. Because they're not going to save us. It's God who saves us. And he calls us not just to be good churchmen, but to go out. He sends us out. This week, some of your clergy are going to New York. And we are going to participate in a national clergy conference. And I tell you the truth, the most exciting thing about this for me is the opportunity to meet with Father Etienne Boleg, the pastor of Church of the Nativity in the Bahamas, and start coordinating so that next summer we can have an international mission with our church in the Bahamas. And we can have a twofold mission project here at Church of the Messiah, where one part of our mission outreach is to annually go to Washington, D.C. and stand up and proclaim that all life is sacred and to speak the gospel in the heart of our nation and to say that our nation's policies are ungodly and to proclaim the gospel there and participate in a prophetic mission trip every year. And the other is to go to a foreign nation, to go to the Bahamas, and to preach the gospel to those who don't know it there. And I am really excited about the opportunity to go there and to work that. And I think this is what we are called to do. I am sending you out. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be challenging? Is it going to be a pain? Are we going to meet with resistance? Absolutely. Are we called to do that? Yes. But beyond that, every time we do it, what happens? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And every time we proclaim Christ among men, Christ proclaims us among the Father. Now, I know that on my first day, when I'm no longer on this plane, but when I've gone beyond, I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because I've heard Jesus proclaim, "This one's mine. He's acknowledged me. I'm acknowledging him." And I want the same for every one of you. But also, I want to look at the Old Testament. I want us to rejoice and be glad. This is Isaiah prophesying over Jerusalem. "All who love her, rejoice for joy with her. All you who mourn for her." You know, it's Independence Day weekend. It's 4th of July weekend. And again, I don't know, maybe it's just me, kind of have this, I don't know, love-hate thing going on with the country. It's kind of like that friend you had in college that was like your best bud, and you did everything together, and you just loved each other. And then after college, you kind of went separate ways. And now you look at him and you go, "Man, what are you doing?" And you just kind of like, "Ah, I love you, but really, seriously? Man." Rejoice, because there's coming a day when our nation's going to be restored. When our people will be restored. We may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that we may drink deeply and be delighted with her abundance of her glory. Behold, the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees. I even had to look up what dandled means. Means to be bounced. My mother bounces a little child. Just set a little child on her knee and just bounce them up and down. This is what the Lord is going to do for us, for our country. It's going to be so happy, so refreshing, so joyous. It's going to be like a child laughing on his or her mother's knee. You ever heard a child giggling when a parent's bouncing on a knee? As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice. These days are coming. It may not be for a while. It may not be for a long while. God's timing is not my timing. But his promises are secure, and his love endures. And we know beyond anything, we know how this story ends. And it ends as it began, with Satan falling like lightning, and with God wiping away every tear. And it ends with the triumph and the glory of God. we don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us. Because as we go forth, as we're sent out, as we proclaim God among people, as we acknowledge Him among the world, He acknowledges us among the Father. And we're counted among that who see the goodness of God. And with that in mind, what can anyone do to us? And we may be struck down, but ultimately, we are not destroyed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.